the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven.
Amen.
These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the martyred innocence of Bethlehem showed forth your praise not by speaking but by dying. Put to death in us all that is in conflict with your will, that our lives may bear witness to the faith we profess with our lips. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Holy Innocents is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. O God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves.
Behold, God is my helper, and the Lord is the upholder.
He will return the evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them.
With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life.
The reading from the letters is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and the sound of loud thunder. And the voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. And no one could learn that song except for the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as the first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
reading according to Matthew, the second chapter. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Feast of the Holy Innocents is from our Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 2. It follows the story of three magi who were led by a star. But this was no ordinary star, as it rose from the east, leading the magi to Bethlehem, the city of David. There they followed a baby. They found a baby wrapped in cloth and sleeping in a manger. They offered to this baby a kingly gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After delivering their offerings, they bowed down to worship this newborn king. This act reveals what was going through the mind of these three magi. This was an acknowledgement that this baby Jesus was no ordinary child. No, in fact, he was true man and true God. However, not everybody was filled with joy for this moment of this coming Messiah, of this coming and promised Messiah. The Edomite king, Herod the Great, was troubled over the birth of Jesus, for he was at best a false king. And he was worried that he would lose his position as king of Judea at that time to this newborn king. Herod's words suggested that he too would go and worship the baby once he was found. But in his heart proved that he only cared for his own status and sought to murder the baby. No, Herod, unworthy of the title of king, would go on to repeat the tragedy recorded in the history of in Israel's history, Pharaoh's order to slaughter the innocent baby boys of the Hebrews. Once he learned that the three magi deceived him, Herod would give the order to slay all male children in Bethlehem and in the entire region, all males of 2 years old or under. In this merciless act of tyranny, Herod attempted to end what he perceived as a threat to his own power. In a way, these holy innocents could be seen as martyrs, dying on account of the birth of Christ, but not by their own will. They had no choice, no ability to defend themselves, since they were only 2 years old or younger. They were martyred solely for the fact that they were babies born in Bethlehem. However, even if they weren't capable of perceiving their circumstance, understanding doctrine, or confessing Christ as their Lord, their deaths still point to Christ. This leads us to our theme of this text. The death of these martyrs proclaim Jesus Christ. Matthew records Herod's response. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Here Herod correctly perceives that the three magi did not intend to share the location of the child with him. The only hint he had was from the prophet Micah, who had written, "This pointed to Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah. Desperate to hold on to his status as king and unable to find the location of the child, Herod resolves to follow in the footsteps of Pharaoh in the Exodus by commanding the slaughter of every male who was 2 years old or younger, just like the baby Moses, Jesus would live. Herod's decision to slaughter every 2-year-old in Bethlehem speaks to his cruelty. He turned his position and status into an idol. This idol ruled over his ability to make decisions. We can all agree that Herod the Great was an awful human being. Also, how can we compare ourselves to a man like this? After all, King Herod was willing to have young boys murdered for the sake of his own power. I will answer this question with a simple statement. The idols of yesterday are the idols of today. This idol could take the form of an unrighteous supervisor who is willing to ruin the reputation of one of his workers in order to prevent him from being promoted. It could also take the form of a man or woman holding on to hatred due to a grudge against his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It can also take the form of an abortion, the taking of a life of an innocent child. However, as we remember these holy innocents, we also remember the Christ who was born of a virgin in order to sacrifice himself to atone for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ would eventually face the same murderous intent from those who wished to crucify him using the most brutal method known to man. Despite Satan's murderous intent manifested by Herod's desire to slaughter, God would never let the coming of his kingdom fail. The child spared from the fate of the holy innocents would go on to shed his blood for the sake of you and the sake of the world. He died for each and every one of you. And this is the comfort that I want to leave for you. Every Sunday morning, when your pastor proclaims the forgiveness of sins in confession and absolution, this forgiveness of sins won for you on the cross is applied to each and every one of you. When you are reminded of your baptism every Sunday morning, you are reminded that you receive the forgiveness of sins. For you have been made a child of God and adopted into his family when his holy name was splashed on your foreheads. So even if the guilt remains of these sins and it weighs heavily on your mind, whether that takes the form of an unrighteous supervisor or from that person who is holding a grudge against his neighbor, or possibly an abortion, you can be certain that our Lord washed all your sins away with his own holy and precious blood. You have been declared righteous by God, and your enemies, sin, death, and the devil, have been vanquished. Matthew continues, "Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." This quote from the prophet Jeremiah describes the distress of the mothers and fathers who grieved for their young boys. Much like Rachel, who grieved for her loss, as described in this quote, there was cause for parents in Bethlehem to refuse to be comforted. This would have mirrored the grieving of the Hebrews who lost their boys by Pharaoh, and also foreshadowing the weeping of Mary at the foot of the cross. However, this quote reveals one important connection to Christ, a fulfillment of Scripture. This is an excellent time to point out that God is not the source of evil. Although God existed outside of time and space, and although he knew the ultimate conclusion, he tempts no one and is not the source of Herod's evil thoughts and actions. God does, however, use these evil actions of man in ways that we ourselves cannot foresee or predict. Ultimately, the evil actions of sinful men are unwittingly used for God's purpose and will, just as in the loss of these holy innocents. This quote points to the reading of Matthew's gospel, to the one who would ultimately bring an end to the sorrow caused by sin and death. A reminder of this is found shortly after the verse quoted from the Old Testament reading. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Just as God promised in his word, the hope for the future came that Christmas day in the form of God's only Son. The sorrow felt by those mothers and fathers would eventually be comforted, and their hope in future realized in the life, death, and resurrection of the one who survived Herod's slaughter. You too may be comforted by this fact, that the baby boy, Jesus, came into this world. He was able to run the race for the sake of mankind and rose from the dead so that you might receive life and salvation through the means of grace given to you. For those who repent, for those with repentant hearts receive the forgiveness of sins. God had ordained that the Son of God would survive that night so that he would be able to run the race, fulfilling the law and prophecy. This is the feat that only he, being true God and true man, could accomplish. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. It is interesting that Joseph doesn't hesitate to follow the angel of the Lord's command, but not surprising either. Having grown up and raised with the Old Testament scriptures, he would have known the significance of a dream from Joseph in the book of Genesis. This dream, along with the command from the angel of the Lord, would have strengthened his faith. He did not question why God was sending him and his family to Egypt. He just merely rose and took the child and his mother out of harm's way as commanded. Herod's scheme would be foiled before his plans came to fruition, as the Messiah was safely carried to Egypt, as was spoken by the prophet Micah. In a way, this points to Christ taking on the identity of the true Israel, his lineage going back to Jacob and Abraham, as found in Matthew chapter 1, supports this fact. Where Israel failed to keep the law given to them by God through Moses, Jesus Christ was able to do so. He is also a representative of these holy innocents. For they themselves would be considered sons of Abraham and Jacob. So Jesus Christ was the perfect substitute. Where mankind failed, especially Israel, Christ did not. Instead, Jesus Christ would be that perfect, blameless lamb, taking on the sins of these holy innocents. He sacrificed his own body, allowing his blood to be shed in the most brutal fashion, all for the sake of you, me, and the saints who have already fallen asleep. Ultimately, he put our old enemies, including our own sins, death and the devil, under his feet, conquering them for all eternity. This is where the hope of those mothers and fathers for their mourning child lies. In that final resurrection, where every saint will be raised from the dead, gathered together in his eternal kingdom. So on this Feast of Holy Innocents, remember that the deaths of these martyrs proclaim the hope that is found in the life and work of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, as the holy innocents suffered in the wake of Herod's rage, so do martyrs of all ages continue to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Strengthen your children who face trials and danger because of their faith in Christ. Preserve them from evil and comfort the families of all who die in his name. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, you have given us hope and established us in the peace of Christ, our Savior. Give your church boldness to speak the message of the cross and the empty tomb without fear. Raise up faithful pastors to serve us in your name and call many to service in the church here and throughout the world. Bless in particular our sister congregation in Maine, the Lutheran Church of the Resurrection in Waterville and Hope Lutheran in Bangor, and send to them a pastor to shepherd their flocks. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your care of our congregation over the past year. You have provided for us richly in your word and sacraments. You have watched over each of us individually and sustained many through challenges. We commend to you our time, and we ask that you would bless the coming new year of 2026 in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you are the author of life. Protect life from its natural beginning to its natural end. Grant your protection to the unborn and to the mothers with child, especially to those who are abortion vulnerable. Make our pregnancy resource centers havens of light, hope, and refuge. Keep safe both mother and child throughout pregnancy and childbirth. We pray in particular for expectant mothers, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. At the same time, grant comfort and your grace to those who suffer miscarriage or the death of a child. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One of Israel, have mercy on our nation. Give us good and faithful rulers who will govern after your good pleasure. Give us comfort and a right understanding of your rule in this world, that we would not be deceived to think heavenly powers will last forever, but have confidence in you alone. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, hear us for the sake of all who cry to you in their need. Heal the sick, relieve the suffering, comfort the mourning, and guide the dying to peace in Christ, especially Ted, Cindy, Katie, and her family during their hospitalization. Watch over, we pray, Diane, Tom, Marilyn, Melinda, Jared, Dale, Laurie, Kay, Louise, and Dave Farbar. Restore them with your abundant grace, and according to your will, deliver them from all their troubles. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant that we may remain steadfast and immovable in faith, deep in love, and joyful in hope, that we may endure to the day of Christ's coming. Reunite us with those who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, and grant that we may live in your eternal presence and sing your praise without end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.